Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 2 of the Armchair GMs. I'm here with the beautiful, handsome, chiseled man himself, Tommy Tallarino. Tommy, we just recorded not too long ago, but how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm doing even better after that introduction. That made my heart skip a beat right there, Jordan.
Well, you know, I gotta keep you on your toes, you know. I'm pretty sure I used that same intro last time, but
they twinkle. They twinkle. And I see you got the Beaver Dog today.
I do have the Beaver Dog shirt on, the Elite Eight.
There we go.
Oregon State Beavers from the NCAA tournament a couple years back. That team covered every game we bet on them, and it's a team I will fondly remember. The Beaver Dogs, they ain't scared of no dogs. They were always underdogs, and they always covered.
They got the dog in them.
They do got that dog in them. But, Tommy, on this episode, we're going to be talking about some people that got that dog in them. You know?
There we go.
One of the people that we're not going to talk about, but we're going to talk about one of his receivers, is the guy that is on the jersey you're wearing. Mac That's Man, right. Return of the Mac, Mac Jones. You have the Alabama 10 on.
Alabama.
Roll Tide, roll. Are you buying in? Are you finally buying in?
I've always bought into Mac Jones. And what makes me happy is I got two of these. One of these for free because Fanatics messed up. So if anyone needs a Mac Jones jersey out there, hit me up. I'm giving it away. But, Mac Jones is just – he's just an amazing man. He reminds me of someone who came to the league like 20 years ago now and – it's unathletic, great memory at the line, doesn't have a lot of arm strength.
Sounds like you were remembering very fondly.
Yes, yes.
Does he happen to play in Tampa now?
Some would say he plays in Tampa Bay.
Oh, well, Tommy, that's a great segue. You set me up perfectly. Tommy, we're going to start this off with some news around the league and the fantasy implications. Tampa Bay fans and Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Leonard Fournette, whichever tight end on Tampa you want to take, and Russell Gage owners, calm down. And most importantly, Tom Brady owners, let out a sigh of relief. Tom Woo. Brady is back in the building, people. He was back in the building today. He was not on The Masked Singer, allegedly. He was in the Bahamas with his wife and family. That's someone that was on The Masked Singer. That would be their excuse, I feel like.
You never know.
But Tom Brady was back in the building. Tommy, how do you feel about – because there was a non-zero chance that he had retired again. Like, let's be honest. He was gone for, like, almost 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah. It was very strange because – I don't think I've ever seen that out of him before. I honestly thought it was like a personal matter, like someone was sick in his family, because I know his parents, I think it's his dad, that has battled with cancer before, and I thought it was that. But he was in the Bahamas, you say?
Yeah, it's a report came out today that he was in the Bahamas? Or something like that. I
mean, was he on the banana boat? Or?
Yeah, who knows? We'll figure it out. You know, that's something he'll tell us when he's ready. How do you, for this Tampa Bay offense, like I said, there was a non-zero chance that he retired again, and people were kind of worried. And, you know, shout out to Todd Bowles. He finally gets a head coaching gig again. What if Tom Brady just up and retired? You know, that would be awful.
It'd be the worst thing for his career besides coaching for the Jets.
Yeah, pretty much. But he's back. I'll get to the offensive line in a little bit after this comment of yours. How do you view this Tampa Bay offense, Tom Brady completely in tow, going into year 37 billion, he's been playing since football was invented, do you still think this Tampa Bay offense, you know, you're flying high on all of the guys just because it's Tampa Bay and it's Tom Brady?
I wouldn't say I'm flying high just because, you know, Julio Jones has looked mixed in practice. Russell Gage suffered an injury to the shoulder. They said he's going to be healthy, but you never know. Godwin coming off the ACL injury. You never know how that goes, but he looks pretty healthy. Mike Evans, I don't think you have to worry about. Mike Evans gets yards, receptions, touchdowns with Jameis Winston Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Tom Brady. And Leonard Fournette, I think it doesn't really have that much of an effect on him. I know he's not very much involved in the pass game, but I think it'll slightly up his stock a little bit. But I am worried because for anyone in this Tampa Bay offense, because like you said, the offensive line's a little depleted.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. The interior of that offensive line is just absolutely destroyed. Ryan Jensen out with an injury that we're assuming will keep him out for the full season. Ali Marpet, of course, retired. Forgetting who else on that line was hurt. But pretty much the entire interior has been kind of blown up this preseason and offseason. But bringing up Leonard Fournette, just for a second, he was pretty involved in the pass game last year because of Tom Brady and the checkdowns. He had Gio Bernard get hurt, and, you know, he's old as dirt as well. And Ronald Jones was in the doghouse, and Keyshawn Vaughn really didn't show that much. I'm expecting Leonard Fournette to still have a stranglehold on this offense. Tom Brady being back helps tremendously. He just elevates everybody, of course. I'm willing to downgrade him a little bit because of the offensive line situation, though. I'm still comfortable with taking him. I haven't seen anything that's going to tell me that Rashid White is just going to come in and take all the passing work. I think Leonard Fournette will not get all of it like he did last year, pretty much. But the guy is, he has a nose for the end zone, and he's kind of a bowling ball, you know, so he doesn't.
That's one way to put it.
You know what you're getting with Leonard Fournette. I'm not looking for Leonard Fournette to take it 75 yards to the house. If the guy gets 25 carries, he's going to end up with 100 yards and a touchdown or two. And, you know, that's that workhorse. You can't, there's not a lot of running backs like that left. So I'll take that security for fantasy. But I just wanted to bring that up.
And I think you're going to see Brady struggle a little bit with the depleted offensive line just because he's 45 years old now. He's not going to be able to – he couldn't move before. He's really not going to be able to move. He throws a deep ball once in a while, but the deep accuracy, it's just – it's not as there as much as it was before.
I don't think he's
going to have time to set up the big plays a lot this year.
Well, I think they'll get it figured out. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think the first couple weeks, maybe a month or so, it's going to be kind of rough. You know, the offense will still be good, still be a great fantasy offense. I want shares in all my leagues if I can get, you know, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Leonard Fournette. You know, I want a part of this offense. But it's going to take him a little bit of time to get rolling, but I'm not going to bet against Tom Brady. I mean, people didn't think Tampa Bay's line was that good before he got there.
That's true.
Obviously, I mean, the guys that got injured were very talented, but they didn't think that line was that good with them there, and then Tom Brady got there, and they're the best offensive line in football. So, yeah, but that was the news. Tom Brady's back in the building. Think both of us agree we can let out a sigh of relief. This Tampa Bay offense, still an offense to target, still going to be high-powered for the most part. You know, the Byron Leftwich is still there. Todd Bowles, you just got to keep the defense in check, you know? What's Todd Bowles going to tell Tom Brady? You know what I mean? People are worried Bruce Arians is not there. What's Todd Bowles going to go up to Brady and say, oh, Brady, we're going to do this. Brady's going to be like, no, we're not going to do that. I'm going to do what the fuck I want to do because I'm Tom Brady. So,
I'm not really worried.
Yeah,
I mean, that's why Bruce Arians is gone, really. I mean, he said, Bruce, pack your bags, go hit the front office, I'll grab your walker, and you'll be upstairs. That's really all
I think Todd
Bowles
can downgrade the Tom Brady offense, you know what I mean? Tom Brady's not going to allow him to do that. But in other news, we'll get this one out of the way real quick. Baker Mayfield's quarterback one for the Panthers, Tommy. I know you're shocked that he beat out Sam Darnold.
My jaw is on the floor right now.
You know, Matt Rhule, they called Matt Nagy the magician because he tried to trick everybody and he wanted to be smarter than everybody. Matt Rhule, he's there, I think. I've never seen a coach you trade for Baker Mayfield. And don't get me wrong, I get it. Sam Darnold has pedigree. You know, he's drafted.
Yeah.
You want to give him chances. You paid him for some reason. But you traded for Baker Mayfield. If you believed in Sam Darnold and Matt Rhule was willing to attach his job and his career, which is pretty much what it is, if they suck this year, Matt Rhule, you're going back to college football. Welcome to Alabama. Yeah. Bama, you're going to be the new OC, and Bill O'Brien is going to take your job on the Panthers. This is going to be a clean swap. One for one. I'm sorry, Panthers fans. That's just how it works. I don't make the rules. That's just how it works.
Panthers Bill O'Brien will be a head coach. No more CMC when Bill O'Brien's there. Actually, he might not get traded. But DJ Moore. They're going to trade the best receiver. It's just – it happens.
Yeah, I mean, you go to Alabama when you're a terrible offensive coach in the NFL, and you rebuild your image because it's Alabama, you know? You don't really have to do that much. You already got the best recruits. All you have to do is not mess it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Nick Saban will do the work for you.
Nick Saban's like, don't worry.
Job in the NFL.
I got this. You sit on the sideline. I'll coach the game.
Or you'll get a head coaching gig in college. That's where Matt Rhule's headed. He's headed to Alabama to be the new OC if the season goes bad. So like I said, if you were willing to attach Sam Darnold to you, handcuff yourself to him, you wouldn't have traded for Baker. You traded for Baker, and then you said, it's an open quarterback competition. No, it wasn't. There was no chance in hell, unless Sam Darnold turned into Jesus and walked on water, that he was winning this coaching job. And even then, Baker might have still had a chance. But Baker's the QB one. And I think the main – CMC's quarterback proof. I didn't downgrade him with Sam Darnold. I'm not upgrading him with Baker Mayfield. The one player I am super high on this year is DJ Moore. Only because Sam Darnold, when he got in the red zone, the few times they did after the first, like, 3 weeks of the season, was atrocious. Terrible. Downright despicable to have him on the football field. DJ Moore needs touchdown regression. Touchdowns are a finicky thing. I preach that. You can't really rely on the same touchdown production year to year. I mean, look at Calvin Johnson. He has years where he didn't score any, pretty much, with Matt Stafford. DJ Moore, get him 8 touchdowns. He finishes in the top 12. And I'm willing to bet on that with Baker because I think Baker is 100 times the quarterback that Sam Darnold is. Is he good? I wouldn't go that far. But average is better than whatever Sam Darnold gave us.
Yeah, I like that you described it as average because that's really all he needs to be, I feel like, if we want to see a great season out of DJ Moore. I think they might have a really good connection. I think it's one of those receivers that Baker can, I don't want to say get along, but develop a good chemistry with.
And you look at Baker is a guy that wants timings. He wants timings. He studies the route tree. He wants to know where you're running. He doesn't want you to, you know, that's why he didn't get along with OBJ. OBJ does a lot at the top of his routes, and he's great at improvising mid-route and getting himself open. Baker's not an off-the-script quarterback. He was in college just because he was a better athlete.
He had Lincoln Riley, too.
That, too. You get to the NFL, he's not an athlete in the NFL. He's slow. He's slow and small, which is not a good combo. So he's an on-script quarterback. And DJ Moore is an on-script receiver. I don't think he does a lot of improvisation. He's just a very, very good route runner, and he gets open, and he's a downfield threat. And you look at DJ Moore, he's, what, wide receiver 18, I think, last year?
I think so.
He was, you know, right there at the 13-12 cusp, like, most of the season. I don't think it's far reach to say that DJ Moore can finish in the top 12, and I think this is the season we've been waiting for him with Baker, and that's just because I think Sam Darnold is just that bad that he just ruined what he had going last season.
And I think this might be one of his best QB options since when Cam Newton was there the first time.
Yeah, exactly. And another thing is if CMC stays healthy, this offense looks a whole lot different because you're not going to be able to sit back. You know, you have Chuba Hubbard. I'm not worried about Chuba Hubbard catching the football, doing anything. I mean, he looked bad last year, to be honest. Christian McCaffrey, I'm worried about that. You know, he got some juice.
Muscle hamster. Yeah. Muscle hamster,
He's a hard worker, you know?
He's great.
So, but yeah, that's the Carolina news. Baker Mayfield, quarterback one. Surprised us all. Thanks, Matt Rhule. Last bit of news, Matt LaFleur said that A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, well, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, running back 1A, 1B, they're both going to be heavily involved. How do you view them in fantasy this year? Because I think there's about two or three offenses. I'll say three offenses that could have two top 24 running backs. I think Cleveland could do it with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt if he stays there. I think Dallas could do it depending on how involved they get Tony Pollard. And I think the Packers are my lock. I think A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones will both finish in the top 24. Is that how you view them?
Yeah, I definitely could see that happening. I don't want to say 50-50 last year, but I think it's going to be very similar to their last year results for them at the position, maybe just a little bit better because there's not that X-factor receiver there. So I think Rodgers is going to rely on Jones a little bit more as well as Dillon. And I think they're going to get touches in the run game and the passing game.
I view A.J. Dillon as the better back, the better running back. I think he fits what they try to do more. I think Aaron Jones, obviously, is a home run threat. I don't think you're going to see A.J. Dillon break off the runs Aaron Jones breaks off of. But they're similar in their passing skills. So I think I'm going to go on touchdowns here. I think at their ADPs, you know, you're getting Aaron Jones anywhere from the second round to like the third round, mid third. And then you can get A.J. Dillon in sixth, seventh. I think it's maybe eighth, you know. I would rather have Dillon because of the value. Especially, you know, Aaron Jones is known to miss a couple games a season. If he was to miss any extended time, you've got not a lock, but a very good chance A.J. Dillon with a sole backfield could finish top 12. That goes either way, of course, but I'd much rather take that chance on a guy who's going to get a 50-50 split on the back end of the draft than drafting Aaron Jones in the third and hoping, you know, a lot of it is you're hoping Aaron Jones gets a lot of targets. And, you know, people are going to go to the games that Devontae has missed where Aaron Jones, you know, has gotten 6, 8, 9, you know, 10 catches and he's been the focal point of the offense. Well, if it's really 50-50, like people are saying, those games may not come. He may still have bigger games than when Devontae was there, but that works and get cut into. And let's not, you know, people are acting like this offense is just going to be all Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon. Tommy, both of us agree, Alan Lazard is not that bad. I mean, he's not Devontae, but the guy caught 8 touchdowns last year, you know? Aaron Rodgers trusts him in the red zone.
Yeah, the guy does have a lot of talent. He's got great size. He has good hands, and I think he's going to make a good impact with Rodgers. I see similar numbers with Lazard in the touchdown category. I think yardage is going to go up a little bit just because I think he missed a handful of games last year.
Yeah, the core injury, yeah.
Yeah, but going back to Aaron Jones, I think with Jones and Dillon, Jones I feel like is the touchdown getter. That's where most of his value is going to be. He'll have those big games like we saw in Detroit. He had 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have games like that. And like you said, drafting an RB who's 50-50 split, get him in the later rounds. I'd say the only way you go after Aaron Jones is if you go wide receiver, and need some hope for one of those top-tier RBs.
And, you know, I'm happy with drafting Aaron Jones. I like Aaron Jones. Yeah. I don't think he's I'm not fading him at his ADP. I'm taking him at his ADP. He's that good. But my thing with A.J. Dillon was we see him in the red zone. The guy is a tank, you know, and he has a nose for the end zone. And I think that his touchdowns are going to go up in the red zone because you're not going to have Devontae Adams, you know. They're going to run the ball more, whether they like it or not. They're going to have to. But I agree with the Lazard take. I think his yardage will go up. I could see 80 receptions, 900, maybe 1,000 yards, probably not 1,000, probably like 880 to like 950 and 8 touchdowns. It's a good season. But yeah, Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, I don't think there's anything to worry about. When the only reason I brought this up as news is don't get scared of the 50-50 split. Both of these guys are great gets at their ADP. But anything else you want to say on that topic?
No, I think we hit everything.
All right. Moving on, we have our preseason takeaways, Tommy. I've watched the preseason games. I, you know, take them with a grain of salt. But there has been some interesting developments that we should take a look at. And let's start off with the most important position. Let's start off with the quarterback position. And let's start off with a team that just traded their franchise quarterback. For not peanuts, is actually a pretty good return. Russell Wilson, Broncos country. Let's ride.
Let's ride.
Well, Broncos country is riding on Super Bowl hopes. And they're on a train to the Super Bowl in the AFC West. That is a gauntlet. The other team, Russell's former employer, the Seattle Seahawks, they're in a gauntlet of a division too, the NFC West. They've got a quarterback battle for the ages. Geno Smith and Drew Locke. Tommy, I don't know if you've watched Geno Smith in this preseason. He's looked okay. He has. I like how much control he has over the ball. I think he's definitely improved his accuracy. But Pete Carroll says he will not. He doesn't have a timeline for a starter announcement. Obviously, it's before, I think, September 12th. I think it's their game. I think they have the Monday night game. Tommy, Drew Locke or Geno Smith?
Right now, I would go Geno just because he's a little bit more familiar with the system. Not saying that it'll stay like that for the rest of the season. But, you know, we've seen Geno get better after 7 years in the NFL. He's finally developed some accuracy. I got to give him props on that. Drew Locke's coming off COVID, and Pete Carroll says he's going to play a lot in the next preseason game.
And, yes, and if you look at Geno Smith, he's looked, like I said, okay. I thought some of the throws he made should have sealed him the job. He, you know, obviously, the preseason defense is a lot different than regular defense. I saw Geno Smith in the regular season. He didn't look that great. But they don't have many options. You know, they're not going to – they're not calling me. You know, if they called me, Geno Smith would look like Tom Brady. You know, he'd look like the greatest thing since sliced bread. I can't throw the ball more than 5 yards. Next to Drew Locke, you know, if Drew Locke was black, I'm not – Listen, I'm just saying
it would look
the
like
difference.
Bo Nix
isn't that big. Yeah, that difference wouldn't be that big, you know. I think they're similar. If Drew Locke plays a lot and he looks good, this gets very interesting. You know, I don't think Geno Smith is that far ahead talent wise, where they're just going to keep Drew Locke on the bench. I think you kept Pete Carroll. If they had gotten a new coach, I could understand them just sticking with one guy. But Pete Carroll's still here. And if this is his last season or whatever, the man is trying to win. He's too proud to just roll over and go 2-15, okay? He's trying to win games. And if Geno Smith goes out there and lays a stinker in the first half of that Monday night game, Drew Locke is going to come in.
Yeah.
If Drew Locke starts and he lays a stinker, Geno Smith is going to come in. I think this is going to be a rotating door. I honestly do. And I bring this next question and why we're even talking about this. How do you view the Seattle offense? Mainly, I'm not worried about the backfield. Ken Walker's got a hernia thing. It's Rashad Penny until he gets injured, which will be quickly probably, but until he gets injured. The wide receivers, how do you view Tyler Lockett, Noah Fant, and DK?
For me with DK, it's like I like the guy's talent. I just don't like the situation. We've seen DK put up big numbers, but he had Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson to Geno / Drew Locke, that's like Hall of Fame QB to college QB. Like that.
Yeah.
I mean, It's for me, it's hard taking one of these guys in the offense. Tyler Lockett, you get those boom bust weeks every year. There's going to be more bust than boom. He doesn't have the deep ball anymore.
Tyler Lockett, you know, as good as he was, a lot of his points were centered around those boom weeks, you know. Like you said, he wasn't – DK was the more consistent wide receiver of the two. I'm fading DK. I don't like taking him. He didn't look terrible with Geno. His production was still okay. I think he's a wide receiver too with some upside. If you know, depending on what happens with the quarterback position, if he gets good quarterback play, I mean, the guy, he's going to produce. If they go out there and they play like they have most of their careers, it's going to be rough. It's going to be garbage time points more likely than not, especially because the defense is – there's nothing on that defense. So, you know, they're going to be down, so they're going to be throwing the ball. So that's only, like, bright side, you know? Tyler Lockett, on the other hand – oh, go ahead.
They put all their money on Jamal Adams, and it was the worst decision in history. Worst trade deal in America. That's how I view it.
You get a DK wide receiver two with some upside. I wouldn't – and it's a risky wide receiver too, because you know you're banking on garbage time pretty much. That's how I view it. Tyler Lockett, I'm staying away from in all drafts. I want no shares of Tyler Lockett. I don't like it. If he comes out and completely changes his game and he's the underneath guy and he gets, you know, the slot receptions, then maybe, you know, I view it a little bit differently. But especially in PPR leagues. But right now, with the way I've seen Tyler Lockett score a lot of his points, Geno Smith and Drew Lock's Russell Wilson impersonations. They're a little rusty. They could use some work. Noah Fant, I have no idea. He was getting 5 catches a game in Denver. Could he still get 5 catches a game in Seattle? Probably. He's a tight end pick I take at the end of the draft when I don't have anybody, and I would like to not do that again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you should expect much out of Noah Fant. And like you said, it's one of those guys where, like, if you want to throw the position, get a guy late, he's a good candidate. There's better out there. So unless, like, that's your last option, I would stay away from him. And like you said, Tyler Lockett, I ain't touching him with a 10-foot pole. I don't care about the boom weeks. They're non-existent this year, in my opinion.
And boom weeks now. 25 points, you know. Maybe he goes for a long 100 yards, long touchdown, maybe two. There's no more 50-point games in his future. There's none. It's not going to happen. DK, I'm safe with. I'll take him if I don't really have another option that I like and I have to go receiver. You know, risky, like I said. Risky, but good upside if he gets decent quarterback play. I think we've hit everything there. I'll touch on the backfield again. Like I said, Rashad Penny. I think you agree with me. It's Rashad Penny until he gets injured.
Yeah.
Ken Walker, good back. Definitely keep him on your draft board. You know, if he slides because of this hernia thing, he'd be a good pickup. Maybe later in the season he takes over. But I just don't see them splitting work when you have a bad offensive line. And a team that I don't think they're expecting to go win the Super Bowl. I said Pete Carroll wants to win games. He's going to try to win every game. This is not, you know, what's the, you know, say Geno Smith or Drew Lock exceed expectations. 5 wins, 6 wins, maybe 7 wins if they get absolutely, you know, ludicrous. They're going to just run Rashad Penny into the ground, I think, to, you know, save Ken Walker's legs for when they're actually somewhat competitive, maybe a better roster next year.
Here's hoping. I think Walker, you know, he came out of college and just looked amazing. And I really hope he just doesn't waste his career behind that terrible offensive line.
And that's in a redraft. Dynasty, I'd still, you know, I'm fading him a little bit because of the hernia thing. I would like to have one running back on my roster before I pick Ken Walker. In Dynasty, I don't think I would take him with my first running back pick. But, yeah, I like Ken Walker's value in Dynasty still. I like DK's value in Dynasty still, but fading Tyler Lockett in all formats will not be touching him whatsoever. But moving on to our next, stay with the quarterback position. Tommy, let's talk about one of our favorite players. He's smooth. Out of Pitt. Kenny. Mr. Fake Slide, Mr. Small Hands himself, Pickett. He's a dog, Tommy. He's a dog. Please tell me.
He's got that dog in him. You know, he might be Mr. Two Gloves. We say Teddy Two Gloves. I think Mr. Pickett's Mr. Two Gloves.
He's taking over the Teddy Two Gloves?
Yeah, I mean, that's when Teddy is vanished off into retirement.
He's not starting right now. So
no, but you got to respect Teddy Two Gloves. But
of course, Teddy throws a vote.
Yes, but Kenny Pickett's looked amazing, and he's looked better than Mason Rudolph in games. I feel like they came out with a report where Mason Rudolph looked amazing in training camp and how he didn't throw a pick. That's great, but I guess he can't in games. Kenny Pickett, I think he's looked like probably one of the best candidates for the job. Mitch Trubisky, I know they really like. I think you'll see Trubisky go out there week one, and then you'll see probably Pickett take over in the season. And I think it's a good move. I think Pickett's looked good, and I think him and Pickens are going to have a great connection for years.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett over two preseason games, 17 of 22, 171 yards, three touchdowns, a QBR of 138.6. He's looked good, man. He looked a lot better than I thought he was going to be honest. I wasn't a big believer in him right away coming into the NFL, but to be honest, at all the rookie quarterbacks we've seen, he has looked far and away the best. Hasn't even really been close. Here's the weird thing with me in Pittsburgh. I look at Pittsburgh. Colin Cowherd said this last week, I believe. Mike Tomlin's not going to have a losing season.
No, he never will. Yeah.
9-7 is what Colin Cowherd said. 9-8, okay. 9-8, okay. Might make playoffs, might not. Looking at this roster, I see the defense still put them in the top 10. It's a solid defense, very good defense. I wouldn't say championship caliber. They might be right there on the cusp. Offensive line, they've made some improvements, still on the weaker side. Offense overall, you got Pickens, who we're going to talk about in a minute, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Najee Harris. Decent weapons, pretty good. Oh, and Pat Freiermuth. Forget about Muth. The Muth is Luth. Very good offense. Really, really good weapons. You have Mitchell Trubisky in one hand, who we've seen. Now he's going to get the Matt Nagy. He's going to get the Matt Nagy upgrade. Let's not forget. This is going to be his first job without Matt Nagy, which is an upgrade to Mike. Mike Tomlin is superior. And the offensive play calling superior on Pittsburgh. And he sat behind Josh Allen with his tight shorts for a year, so he probably picked up, you know, something in the shorts. I think that's where Josh Allen gets his power. It's from he sat behind him. He saw that system. I think Mitchell Trubisky, he can't come back into a starting job and look worse than the last time we saw him. I think it's pretty impossible. I think he's going to be okay. And I understand him being the starter, and I'm not downgrading their offense at all. Deontay Johnson, I'm downgrading a little bit just because Big Ben loved him some Deontay Johnson. That's the only guy he threw to, pretty much.
It was amazing.
We'll get to Chase Claypool and George Pickens in a second. I just want to talk about how I view this, I guess, and continue on this rant. Why not start Kenny Pickett week one? Let's be honest. Trubisky probably gives you a better chance to win right away. Sure. Are you beating the Baltimores of the North? Are you going to beat the Bengals? You know, those are the two teams you got to beat. And I don't see them. In the Browns, you know, Deshaun Watson, 11 games. The Browns still have a very good defense. We'll see what Jacoby Brissett can, you know, if he can keep them afloat. But is this team good enough to just, you know, win? And then you think wild card. Look at all the teams out in the AFC West. Not taking you over any of them. So why not start Kenny Pickett?
I feel like Tomlin's like kind of like Pete Carroll. He's going to do what's he thinks going to get him the win. He's always going to try to win. He's proven it since he's been in the league. I think they can beat Baltimore. Baltimore, I feel like they just have Baltimore's number.
Their number.
Yeah. Cincinnati, if their defense plays really well, it's a tight game. Cleveland, without Deshaun Watson, they're gonna roll them, I feel like. If it goes by game script. But I think it's just like a formula, I feel like, in the NFL. Oh, we're going to start the veteran for a little bit. If he's not getting it done, we're just throwing the rookie. I feel like that's just how it always goes. You know, I think the only rare occurrence where I haven't seen it was last year with Mac Jones. I thought Cam Newton was going to be the starter almost all preseason, and then he released him. So I was like, all right, I guess it is Mac Jones because it's not going to be Brian Hoyer. Thank God. I think if Kenny Pickett, do they have one or two more preseason games?
One more.
If he comes out and balls out like he has been, and you see Trubisky kind of slide a little bit, I think you could see Pickett go week one out there.
Yeah. I view Kenny Pickett, if he got 13 starts, 12 starts, he's I'd put him, with his scrambling upside, he's a top 16 option at the quarterback position, to be honest. I have faith that he could do that, especially with the weapons around him. You check down to Najee Harris, you know, 100 times a season, your numbers are going to look pretty decent.
Yeah.
I mean, Big Ben did it. This offense, I don't think it's an upgrade to Kenny Pickett. I wouldn't upgrade any of the receivers or Najee just because of Kenny Pickett getting in there over Trubisky. I just think it'd be more fun to watch Kenny Pickett throw to George Pickens than it would to be watching Mitchell Trubisky. That was just my whole point there.
And I think it might happen because, you know, like you said, Steelers offensive line, it's better than it has been past couple years, I feel like.
Yeah.
But Mitchell Trubisky's not the most elusive quarterback, I'll say.
He can get out of the pocket. He has no get up and go.
I feel like Kenny Pickett's got a little bit more of that.
Yeah.
And if they need that, they'll bring him in, I feel like. Because I have a feeling with this offensive line, it may not hold up with some of the defenses they have to go against.
If Kenny Pickett became the starter, I would trust him in two quarterback leagues for sure. I wouldn't mind having him as my second quarterback. One quarterback leagues, I'm still not starting him. You can get a top 12 option. But as a bye week fill-in, a guy on the bench, he's a fine option. I would take that over Mitch Trubisky. I would rather, if Kenny Pickett was out there and he was a starter, I would take him. If I needed somebody filling on bye in a one quarterback league or to be my QB2 in two quarterback leagues, Trubisky, I can't say the same.
Yeah.
I think he'll be better. I just don't think he has a fancy upside of a Kenny Pickett. Going on, talk about their offense. Like I said, I'm not downgrading or upgrading anyone with either of them. They're about the same. I'll downgrade Deontay from his last year's projections. I don't think he's going to reach that again. But moving on to go ahead. You have some.
No, you're good. You're good.
All right, moving on to the guy who started in this game opposite Kenny Pickett, at least for a little bit, Trevor Lawrence in the Jags. This was the most efficient they've looked in this last preseason game. They went 5 for 9 on third downs. They generated 189 yards of offense. They didn't get in the end zone. But Trevor Lawrence targeted Christian Kirk 8 times, twice on third downs. He's exactly what we thought they were getting when they paid him $72 million. He's going to be Trevor Lawrence's security blanket. Trevor Lawrence, he showed it. He showed it a lot last season in flashes, this preseason has been pretty consistent. I've seen the guy I saw at Clemson. And a Doug Peterson-led offense has never been outside the top 10 in pass attempts. That's like my favorite stat to rattle off right now when it comes to the Jags. They're going to let him throw the ball. Christian Kirk, if he's going to get targeted 8 times a game, I'm willing to take him as a wide receiver 3 with a good amount of upside in this offense if they're going to let Trevor Lawrence throw this. Trevor Lawrence has looked good, and he's on my board in super flex leagues, definitely in dynasty leagues. You know, I'll take him anywhere I can get him in dynasty because of the pedigree. And in one quarterback leagues, I think he's a bye week still because I don't think he's going to finish in the top 12, of course. But he's looked a lot better, Tommy.
Yeah, and honestly, I just think it's just coaching. He's going from Urban Meyer, who is one of the worst NFL coaches we've seen, to Doug Peterson, who has won a Super Bowl and is an offensive-minded genius, maybe. I mean, he made Carson Wentz look like an MVP.
Yeah, true.
And I think Trevor Lawrence is way more talented than Carson Wentz. I was impressed with his arm, his accuracy. He just looked like a completely different quarterback than last year.
The third downs is what's getting me.
Yeah.
They looked efficient on third downs, and that is a telltale sign of a good offense. Obviously, it's the preseason, you know. But if they're going to be efficient on third downs, or at least, you know, league average, they can, you know, continue those drives. They can get in the red zone. That upgrades the whole offense. You're looking at Travis Etienne. He's looked more explosive than James Robinson. We haven't seen James Robinson, obviously. But, you know, James Robinson, Travis Etienne, those are guys – even on a bad offense, if they're going to be efficient on third down and continue drives, they can both get some value. I know last episode I said it's all predicated on volume for running backs and bad offenses, but this didn't look like a bad offense. Hasn't looked like a bad offense. Obviously, you know, there's probably 15, 16, 17 other offenses I'd rather, you know, get into, but league average, you can sustain that, you know, sustain the league average, the whole offense, everyone goes up. I'm very happy with Christian Kirk. What I saw in the preseason debut, that's what I needed to see. I needed to see him be a target hog. He was, especially on third downs. I'm taking Christian Kirk. I like him at his ADP. I think he's got great value. And I think Trevor Lawrence is, if he's going to play like this, he's on the cusp of we could see him next season break into the top 12.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think it's just a matter of time for him. He's got all the right cards now, I think. They can upgrade the offensive line a little bit, but I think he's going to have a great season.
And moving on to the last quarterback we'll talk about, Malik Willis, Tommy. This is more of a dynasty thing because I don't think he's on anyone's radar for redrafts, 2 quarterback leagues, anything like that. Dynasty, though, I'm not incredibly impressed with Malik Willis. He finished 7 of 17 in this last game for 80 yards and a touchdown. He showed signs of progress, though. The first game, everyone wows at the highlights. He didn't look good.
No, not at all.
He was not comfortable in the pocket whatsoever. The preseason is not the time for you to run. It's not the time for you to show me that you're athletic. I knew you were athletic.
Yeah.
I want you to step up in the pocket, go through reads, make throws. That is what you're going to have to do to be a starter. You know, I know you can run. I know you're mobile. That's why you were drafted. To get on the field, you have to step up in the pocket, go through your reads, make the throws. He didn't show me any of that in the first game. The second game, he showed some progress. He was more comfortable in the pocket. He stepped up, he made a couple throws, he went through some reads. I was happy with what I saw more in the second game than I was in the first game. I still wasn't overly impressed. I didn't expect him to come out the first season and take Ryan Tannehill's job. No one did. But he looks raw.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best way you can describe it is he looks like an athlete playing QB. He just doesn't have the mindset of QB right now, I will say, of doing the reads. And like you said, they're showing the highlights. Yeah, cool. He had the sidearm pass. So what? I mean, if you look at the whole game, he doesn't look that impressive. I think it's just a situation where he's going to have to improve if you want to take him. He's definitely not playing year one, I don't think. Ryan Tannehill is, in my opinion, a way better quarterback than him right now.
Oh, I don't think that's – I think everyone in the world would agree with you on that, maybe besides Malik Willis's family. Dynasty, QB4 for me. He would be
– Taxi squad.
Yeah. He's the fourth quarterback I take if I need someone for some upside, right? The upside's there. If he did manage to get in the game this season as a starter, you upgrade the run game somehow. I don't know how much you can more upgrade it with Derrick Henry, him being healthy. But you do upgrade the run game because there's a new threat. Ryan Tannehill's not getting out of the pocket. Malik Willis will get out of the pocket. So you got to account for that. Upgrade the run game. I think you got to downgrade all the pass catchers if he gets into a game. But that's pretty much it on Malik Willis. If you take him in Dynasty, make sure you got two or three quarterbacks ahead of him that you feel comfortable with. Because you can't go in and roll and say, that's my QB2 right there. That man's going to start one day. Because you don't know. He might not. Talk about some backfields, Tommy. We got through the quarterbacks. There's some very interesting backfields this preseason. And, we'll rapid fire these because some of them, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Start with the Bills. This is a committee. Would you agree?
Yeah. And I mean, it's a committee unless Devin Singletary balls out. Devin Singletary,
I'll give James Cook that look as well.
I haven't been too impressed with James Cook, but I honestly think it's just because he might be getting compared a little bit too much to his brother.
Yeah.
And Devin Singletary, this is his backfield right now as the lead, as the number one of the committee. But I could definitely see that changing.
You saw Zach Moss get too much work for me to be comfortable. As soon as I saw Zach Moss take those goal line touches, I was out. If it was just James Cook and Devin Singletary, maybe. They're also talking about Raheem Blackshear. I think that's his name. He's getting a little bit of work. We saw Duke Johnson get some work. I mean, this is just a mess. I'm fading all of them. I want nothing to do with this Bills backfield this season. Some injuries go down. I could see me getting interested, and it's such a shame because it's such a good offense, but you just don't know. They drafted James Cook. There's draft capital there. They're going to use him. Zach Moss, if he's the goal line back, they're going to use him. Devin Singletary, what's your role? 20 to 20, getting me nothing there.
Yeah.
I just don't want anything. You fading the whole backfield like I am.
Yeah, and honestly, I've kind of faded the backfield for a couple years now because it's always a two-headed monster with Zach Moss and Devin Singletary. It's always been kind of committee since Zach Moss has been there. But now you're adding Cook, like you said. I don't think the other two are going to see as a significant amount of touches to make it worth even looking at him in fantasy.
Unless I will say, though,
there was an injury to Moss or Cook.
Yeah. I will say this backfield is going to keep people honest. And I do think for other parts of the offense, it is a good thing. I think this is their best rushing attack they've had since Josh Allen has been in the league. And I think you look at Gabriel Davis, you look at Dawson Knox, you look at Josh Allen even. I think you can upgrade all of them, even Stephon. You can upgrade the whole offense with this rushing attack. I think they'll be able to run the ball more efficiently. They will get in the red zone easier. And I don't think they're going to take the ball out of the hands of Josh Allen in the red zone. I don't think this is an offense where you get inside the red zone and you hand the ball off. I think that you let Josh Allen dictate who's going to score.
And kind of has like the Cam Newton effect, I feel like, in the red zone where he's going to run it in too, because honestly, he's the best running option in the red zone for them.
And I think you can upgrade this offense in the red zone and upgrade this offense as a whole because of this run attack. And no one was not taking them before. I'm all over the Bills. I want any bit of them I can get. And I think this run attack, for that reason, is better. But fantasy reasons, for any of the running backs, I'm out.
Yeah.
Go to the next backfield. This one's an interesting one. The Washington backfield. Tommy, this preseason has been disastrous for Antonio Gibson owners and fans. He he's losing his job before our eyes.
And it's, what is this, his third year?
Yeah, yes.
It's very quick. I don't know if he's just not fitting in the system or he just doesn't have the talent, because we've seen him have great games. Yeah. I don't know if it's just the Ron Rivera system's not working for him, but I'm going nowhere near him.
If they want to get the most efficient offense, I see it. Third downs were already going to Jaden McKissick last year. And this is a guy, you drafted him last year, you were banking on the Christian McCaffrey light, Walmart version of Christian McCaffrey, Target version of Christian McCaffrey. That was who you were thinking, all right, he was a wide receiver in college, he's going to catch the ball, he's going to run the ball, I want that. Completely understand it. He's a pretty efficient runner. They just don't give him any passing work. That all goes to J.D. McKissick. So you take the third down work away. He's not getting it. You look at the goal line work. Looks like that's going to Brian Robinson.
Yeah.
And Antonio Gibson, you got him taking special team snaps. You got him working with the twos and the threes. It's messy. And if you told me his only work was going to be between the 20 to 20, I can't draft that in the fourth round. That gives me nothing. He's going to be off the field on third downs, and he's not going to get the touchdowns. You're worthless in fantasy football. He's a very good player. I believe in the talent that he has. But this offense, if they want the most efficient, give everyone their roles. Yeah, I'm out on him, and I could see Brian Robinson taking his job. You're giving Antonio Gibson special team snaps. That's not good. And he hasn't looked good this preseason either. So Brian Robinson could end up taking his work as well, or at least cutting into it. So I'm completely fading Antonio Gibson. I will not touch him this season.
Yeah, I'd stay away. I'm just trying to stay away from Washington's running backs. If I did have to go of one, if I'm in half-point PPR, PPR, I'd go McKissick.
Yeah, we'll see. I like Brian Robinson. I'm willing to take a flyer on him late just to see if he actually takes over Antonio Gibson's role as well. But Antonio Gibson was already at that running back dead zone where you don't want to take a running back. If I ended up having to take one, I'm taking someone else near his ADP. Antonio Gibson is the last option for me in that ADP range. Moving on. I think that we pretty much covered everything there. Brian Robinson, I am in on as a flyer candidate late in the draft, get him for free pretty much. I'm in on him as there, hold him for a couple weeks, see what happens with the backfield. Because he was talented at Alabama. I could see, something. And if the offense looks good and he gets all the goal line work, then hey, maybe you got a steal there. But that's pretty much it. Going to the Texans backfield, Tommy, my man. Hype season's here. This is all about hype in the preseason. I'm all aboard the Damian Pierce hype.
I'm 100% with you.
Captain of the train. I'm the engineer.
Choo choo.
It's off the rails. The guy's ADP has skyrocketed. And you gotta understand why. Tommy, he's gotta beat out me and you. He's gotta beat out Rex Burkhead. He's gotta beat out Marlon Mack. Marlon Mack had some good seasons. I'm not going to say he's completely washed. He's not the same guy after the Achilles injury. And Rex Burkhead, sexy Rexy, you won me a game last year. I won't forget. You went off. You won me a game. You were a great pickup. I think it was, I want to say it was like week 13, week 14.
It's probably
against phenomenal me. Game. I think it was, actually. you scored like 33 points for me. Thank you. But move along. Move to the side. Let
go
the
back to New England. Come in.
Yes. Even if Rex Burkhead is the third down back, if they give Damian Pierce the goal line work and the early down work, I'm all over him. All over him. As a flex option, maybe even as an RB2. I'm confident enough to say that he could finish in the top 24 if given all the work. And, buying into the hype, I have to believe that they will. They already sat him in the second preseason game. That's a huge step, He's running with the ones. They sat him. No starters played. Phenomenal step for him. This guy, simply put, I'm not going to pull up any statistics. He's that guy. He has the most juice in that backfield. He looks the best. He runs the best. He probably gives them their easily the best goal line work. Easily the best goal line back they got. And if he's got the most juice and, you know, the most just confidence and just ability, he's probably their best early down back as well.
Yeah, I feel like you, if you're the Texans, you might as well throw him out there. Look at the talent on him. You're going to get production. And in fantasy, you're going to get production with him. Like you said, his ADP is skyrocketing, and it rightfully should be. This is one of those guys I would go out and get.
Yeah, and it's the volume over – or yeah, quantity over quality. The quality of his touches will not be that great. He plays for the Texans.
Yeah.
He should have plenty of quantity, though. I think this backfield should be his. Even without the third down work, I think he's still good enough running the football that he could be a good flex option, could end up as an RB2. I'm all over him. I love Damian Pierce this year if he's given the work. Now, he comes out week one and it's messy split. I'll hop off the train. But as of right now, everything I've seen in the preseason, everything that's coming out of camp, I think the Texans are aware that Damian Pierce is their guy.
And rightfully so. The guy's a dog.
He's a dog. He's a gator, actually. He's a gator. Just one more note on the running backs. Trey Sermon, 5 yards, 8 carries in the last – or no, 5 carries, 8 yards – in the last 49ers preseason game. Kyle Shanahan said he liked what he saw. He ran hard, hit the holes decisively, and he was playing against the ones from Minnesota. San Francisco backfield is Elijah Mitchell's. I'm pretty confident in saying that. But I'm not confident in Trey Sermon anymore. It's getting to the point where I think they'll keep him because of the draft capital they have invested. But he has not looked good. Jordan Mason is turning heads in that backfield. He could, you know, he's an undrafted free agent. He could end up getting a roster spot. Jermichael Hasty's looked good this preseason. TDP got a lot of work last preseason game. And Jeff Wilson is a lock for the number two role. I just don't see where Trey Sermon fits. And for dynasty reasons, I'm out on him in dynasty. And redraft, obviously, he's not the handcuff to have. I think it's still Jeff Wilson followed by TDP.
Yeah, I mean, you were high on him last year, I remember, yeah. Sermon. But it's kind of the thing, like you said, he hasn't looked good. He's got one of the best offensive coaches. So it's one of those situations where it might be talent. You never know. But stay away from him.
Yeah, I'm not buying into him. If it gets messy like it did last year, he'll have value eventually, but I don't think he's a top three on the depth chart. So for that reason, I don't think he needs to be drafted. I don't think he needs to be on your watch list. I think he's pretty fantasy irrelevant for the most part right now, and I don't think it'll be a committee. I think they're just going to let Elijah Mitchell do Elijah Mitchell things with Jeff Wilson mixed in. But that's it for the backfields, Tommy. Now we're moving on to some receivers, and I know there's one that we'll get out of the way before we talk about Romeo Doubs and George Pickens. Tommy, I'm sorry that Tyquan Thornton got hurt.
Pain. I'm in Spain yet again. It just keeps getting worse. But, I mean, good thing is the receiving corps probably it's rock bottom compared to what it was all those years ago. So it's the only way to go up now. He's expected to miss a lot of time. They're saying it could be 8 weeks, which not good for fantasy. And that's Mac Jones' number one guy for dynasty. I would have him fall a little bit more. I wouldn't say he drops off a lot. Just because, you know, he's a rookie. He did look good when he was in there with Mac. But I think when he comes back, Devonta Parker, he's still going to be there. And who's looked good. You still got Jacoby Myers, Nelson Agholor's in there. Hunter Henry is, I still think he's going to be the red zone target.
You have Jonnu Smith. Giving him the ball.
You got Damian Harris. You got Stevenson. You got J.J. Taylor. It's just, there's too many weapons for when he comes back middle of the season for him to jump right in, I think. Very unfortunate.
Yeah, I think he's a no draft in redraft. If he comes off the injury and he looks, you know, they actually get him in the games, maybe you take him, you know, a flyer. You're obviously not drafting him anymore, but I'm pretty much out on him for the first season. He did look pretty solid when he was in there with Mac. I did believe that he had a chance to get in those three wide receiver sets pretty early on. It's unfortunate. He's a name to watch for next season for sure, because I think he has the talent and a very weak wide receiver core to make some noise. Devontae Parker, worth a flyer late. He's the most talented wide receiver in that wide receiver room. If he can stay healthy, he could put together a pretty solid season. He could get to that wide receiver 3 threshold, I think. I'm not going to count on Mac Jones to make him a wide receiver 2 or anything like that, but he's worth a flyer late as a guy to keep on your bench, draft him as a wide receiver 5 or something. That's pretty much it for the New England wide receiver stories. Tyquan Thornton looked much better than the next guy I'm about to talk about, Treylon Burks. Tommy, where was he?
I'm still looking for him. Have you seen this man? There's a reward out for him.
This was a guy that I was extremely high on. I was talking him up. I thought he was the best receiver in college football. He's in my A. Like Tommy said, there's rewards out there. If you've seen him, please call the Tennessee Titans. Call Mike Vrabel. Tell him he's on the field. He was on the field the whole game against the backups into the fourth quarter. Nothing. Nothing. He's got the lowest wide receiver grade for the rookies for me right now. He's done nothing. He comes into OTAs, overweight. He's got asthma now. I didn't even know the man had asthma.
I didn't know that was possible for an NFL player. I'm going to be honest.
Man, you got asthma. Hit your inhaler. That's what you... Why are you coming out of plays because you can't breathe? You know you can't breathe.
Don't let him play in Denver.
Don't let him play in Denver. Did his mommy pack his backpack when he was in college? And don't forget your inhaler, honey. Is that what happened in Arkansas? Did you get to the NFL and you forget your inhaler? You have asthma. Fine. He comes in. They say camp. You know, got his conditioning right. He looks good. Yada yada yada. Then I hear 2 phenomenal catches. Sits out. He's got a catch, gets injured. Listen, man, I know they draft you to get the replacement for A.J. Brown. You don't have to be A.J. Brown, okay? You could stay on the field. That would be a plus. You could stay on the field. And then he gets into the preseason. I'm thinking, all right, you know, they're going to get him in there with Malik Willis, and, you know, things are going to be, to his credit, the first preseason game, he was butt booty naked running down the sidelines for a 60-yard touchdown. Would have been an easy pitch and catch. Malik Willis didn't see him. Ryan Tannehill probably sees him and gets that. That's the only good moment I've seen from him, though. And it wasn't like, you know, he shook somebody and got open. He was just running open. No one was guarding him. I don't know. I don't redraft. I have no idea. Robert Woods, I still like. I have him much higher than Treylon Burks just from what I've seen. But the dude has so much talent. And I know he has talent. That it's hard for me to not look at him and say, all right, that's, you know, useful. I'm still taking him in Dynasty if I can get him, because I will bet on the talent. And obviously it's preseason. You take it with a grain of salt. But, man, was it worrying to see him out there against the backups just not doing anything.
I think the only glimmer of hope is that that Vrabel is hopeful and encouraged that he can get better. Like, here's a quote straight from Vrabel. I was really encouraged by some of the things, especially about the football, trying to block, there was times that he was open, whether it be for a catch and run, and there were some other times we'd like to see a better route. Just continue to progress and work on the conditioning of the game and all the things that are required to be a receiver. So they haven't given up hope yet.
Oh, but, yeah, obviously not. You know, he's.
But I would give up hope drafting him right now. At least early, where they had him.
Yeah, at his ADP.
At his ADP.
Fading him.
Yeah.
I think Robert Woods is clearly the one right now. I'll take a flyer on him late, you know, near the back end of the draft. If he slipped to like the 11th, 12th round, I might consider taking him. I'm not taking him where he's going right now because, like I said, Robert Woods is the guy. Yeah. Another Tennessee wide receiver, Kyle Phillips, has looked good. Dynasty is definitely on my boards. I'll take him in Dynasty. I think this is a guy who he's going to be a slot receiver probably in his career, and I think he has some I think he could be useful this season, even if he can get in those three wide receiver sets. There's not a lot of talent in that wide receiver room outside of Robert Woods and Treylon Burks, so I think he can make it there over Nick Westbrook Akine. But yeah, Treylon Burks, man, I'm giving him a D for the preseason. He just it's bad. It's a bad look. So in redraft, he's for me. He's just meh. Definitely take Robert Woods over him. At least early, you know, obviously he can progress. Dynasty, I haven't faded him at all. You're taking him off of potential anyway because he's a rookie. I'll still take him where I got to take him in Dynasty. But for redraft, I'm not loving what I'm seeing. On to some people that I am loving what I'm seeing. Let's start with NFL young boy, George Pickens. Tommy, take it away.
I mean, he's just been amazing. He's got that dog in him. That's how you can sum it up. Great touchdown catch. Blocks corners about 10 yards back with just one shove. And he's looked good with Kenny Pickett. And he probably, I think, could take over as wide receiver two there in Pittsburgh.
We said we were talking about Chase Claypool. I said it.
Yeah.
You lost your job, Chase.
Go back to making TikToks.
You got Wally Pipp, man. How can you let me down as a Notre Dame fan? First Will Fuller, now you? This is a
tragic.
Sad day. It's sad. He is the two. I think George Pickens is the two right now. He has 5 catches on 7 targets for 49 yards and a touchdown in the preseason. The touchdown catch, like you said, was just insane. This didn't come out of nowhere, people. This guy was legit in college. He was phenomenal at Georgia. The injury is why he was so low, but he was phenomenal at Georgia. And I think he went to maybe the best spot. You know the track record that the Steelers have with the wide receivers. I hope he's more Deontay Johnson than he is Antonio Brown, at least personality. I would love Antonio Brown stats.
Yeah.
You know, would love that. Talking personality. Hope he's not crazy. The NFL young boy name worries me. I don't get suspended, please. Don't, you know, the Black Air Force energy of the AFC North is very tempting. Let's stay away from that. But yeah, he's the wide receiver too. And you know, you use Chase Claypool right away. Yeah, I think they're going to use Chase Claypool. He's going to be a big slot receiver, and I think he's going to be, you know, use him on deep stuff, use him to stretch the field. But I think George Pickens runs better routes right now. I think George Pickens has better hands. I think George Pickens is better in the red zone.
Yeah.
I don't think that's crazy to say that. So, I think George Pickens is the two, and I would take him higher than his ADP is right now. In Dynasty, he's my wide receiver one. I'm that much in on him. I would take him over Chris Olave, who was my one. I'm all over George Pickens.
NFL young boy, baby.
NFL young boy. He's looked phenomenal. And to another guy who's also looked phenomenal, Romeo Doubs. The hype is out of control. The Damian Pierce hype was crazy. This is even crazier. He's got 6 catches on 12 targets for 2 touchdowns and 69 yards. The big reason we're seeing this hype is because I'm playing wide receiver three this season for Aaron Rodgers. I think you're on the outside.
I'm at tight end.
Okay. Yeah. And then Alan Lazard is the wide receiver one. There's just nobody.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're going to play week one just because Sammy Watkins is there, so you know how that is. But week two and on, you'll be in there.
Yeah, you know, I got to get my conditioning up. Yeah. You know, coach told me.
You got your inhaler?
He said I'm looking a little slow at the top of my routes. I'm not getting out of them quick enough at my break, so, you know, I'll work on it. But we've got Sammy Watkins. We've got Randall Cobb in front of him. He's the wide receiver four in the depth chart right now, probably. I think talent wins out. He's another guy I'm willing to take a flyer on late and redraft and in Dynasty. I would take him maybe second round if you're doing your rookie draft. If you're doing your startup draft, I'd take him as ADP probably. I do want to say he's getting a lot more hype right now because Christian Watson's out. I think you still have to look at the draft capital. They took Christian Watson in the second round for a reason. You know what I mean? And Aaron Rodgers was involved in that pick. And Christian Watson, perception doesn't really love him on his routes. He can't. He's a go guy. You tell him, all right, Christian, go out there, run straight as fast as you can. Dobbs has better routes right now. Dobbs has better hands. He's probably more polished than Christian Watson. But Christian Watson, I think, has more upside. And I think you could see both of them vying for time when Christian Watson gets back up to speed, because they're not going to – Dobbs is not just going to have a stranglehold over Christian Watson. They wasted a second round – or not wasted. They used a second round pick on him, you know. So they're going to – he's going to get play time. But I don't see Dobbs or Watson taking the one away from Lazard. I think people are overthinking this way too much. Alan Lazard is the one. You know, he may not have the talent. It's that, you know, he may not have the talent and the upside that Dobbs or Watson possess, but he's the guy that Aaron Rodgers trusts. And I think we should know by now that Aaron Rodgers' trust is worth a lot more than potential.
That's right. And honestly, at best, they'll take over Sammy Watkins for wide receiver two, either one of them. That's not hard, though. And Randall Cobb, we just said, trust. Aaron Rodgers trusts him almost.
He's got the slot receiver thing. He's got that locked up for the most part. I know there's a lot of targets vacated, you know, with MVS and Devontae Adams leaving. So there's going to be targets for both Watson and Dobbs. I'm just worried that Matt LaFleur does not want to piss Aaron Rodgers off.
Yeah.
And if Aaron Rodgers wants, and the quote come out, you know, he wants it to be Lazard, Watkins, Cobb, it's going to be Lazard, Watkins, Cobb. So, Dynasty, I'm very interested in Dobbs. I think he has immense talent. Redraft, he's a sleeper for sure. I'm willing to take a flyer on him late, hold him, see what's up, you know, see if he wins out. Same thing with Christian Watson. Christian Watson's ADP has finally come down, but for a while, he was getting drafted 2-3 rounds ahead of Alan Lazard, and I just never understood that. So that's kind of where I'm at, the Green Bay pass catchers.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right there. You got to take Lazard if you're going to take any of them.
Yeah, I think he's the only one right away that I'm comfortable with starting if I needed him. I'm happy to take Alan Lazard as a wide receiver three. Happy. He's the number one in an Aaron Rodgers-led offense. I mean, let's not overthink this, people. You know, like, let's come on. He's not Devontae, but he's going to get the targets. And we got another one. This guy is not a receiver, Tommy. Okay, I'm kind of cheating here. It's a tight end. Do you know who it is?
I love tight ends. We love tight ends here. Tight End University, big fans. I likely might know who it is.
Likely. Huh. Yeah, it likely is Isaiah Likely.
Oh,
this guy.
I was thinking Thaddeus Moss.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Kayvon Thibodeau. Get healthy, man. The Giants need something. The fans, they want something to watch other than Daniel Jones. Isaiah Likely. Boy, oh boy. Mark Andrews said he got a little bit of him in him. Mark, I don't know what you mean by that.
What do you mean by that?
I think you need to.
Mark was caught 4K.
Yeah, you need to clarify that quote, Mark. Yeah. But if Mandrew says you're good,
you're good.
I go by what Mark Andrew says. Yeah. He carried me last season.
In everything in life, or just fantasy?
Yeah, everything.
Okay.
You know, everything. See, he could tell me.
I go by what Lamar says. So
Isaiah likely is going to be involved in this offense more than we thought. Now, I say this, how much can a tight end two and a run first offense that at best is going to be the number three option really be valuable? Not much, I will admit. I'm not taking him in redraft. You know, Mark Andrews, that's kind of the thing. But I think this is a guy you got to keep on your draft boards for Dynasty. You have to. If they run more two tight end sets with their run game, that's something you usually do, he could have some intriguing value. The guy has looked phenomenal. I mean, phenomenal. So I'm high on Isaiah Likely for Dynasty. Redraft, I don't think there's much there just because he's the backup tight end. But it's a good story, and if Mark Andrews was to go down with an injury, I would absolutely run to the waiver wire and get Isaiah Likely.
I'm putting $100 for Fab on him right now.
Oh, all of it? Wasting it all.
I'm pulling a Michael. I think we'll see a lot of two tight end sets with them together. But I'm not going after him right away in redrafts. Dynasty, he has a little bit more valuable now with his performances, but Mark Andrews is still young, so you got to take it with a grain of salt there.
But I mean, four catches for 44 yards against the Titans, and then you go to the game. This last week against the Cardinals. And I mean, my God, man. 8 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown. And I want to say that he only played 15 snaps.
That's,
he did all that.
That's impressive.
On 15 snaps.
Harbaugh was like, he saw that and he goes, sit down now. You're sitting on that damn bench and you're not moving for the rest of the preseason. He saw what he needed to see.
I want to say, I could be wrong there, but I think it was a very little amount of snaps he did that on. But Isaiah Likely definitely got some value for Dynasty and is definitely a very intriguing option if Mark Andrews goes down for redraft. But this led me into the last big topic I want to talk about today, the Tyler Huntley-Lamar Jackson talk that has kind of sprung up on Twitter. They're saying they've offered Lamar more money than Kyler Murray. This is not a question of whether he's worth that or not. That's just how the quarterback market goes. I'm not going to pocket watch another man's money. Quarterbacks are worth whatever the market's telling them they're worth. Okay? That's just how it goes. Deshaun Watson blew that up. Him getting that much guaranteed money, everyone's going to want that. They're saying Lamar wants a fully guaranteed contract. They're not going to give that to him. I can understand why from the Ravens' point of view. People are saying that they may look to trade Lamar after the season and go with Tyler Huntley. I'm not buying that.
Not at all.
Lamar, your ceiling is first seed. First seed, you're hosting all your playoff games, you get to the Super Bowl. Your ceiling with Tyler Huntley, maybe a wild card team. That's if Tyler Huntley is as good as we think he is. And the only reason people think that is because he's played in limited time. He's looked phenomenal this preseason. Don't get me wrong. He looked good last season. In the regular season for stretches. But all backups get figured out eventually. You know? All backups get figured out eventually.
I just don't see Lamar. I don't see him leaving the Ravens. I don't think they trade him. Say they don't get a contract done. Then there's a trade. But I think there's going to be a contract done. It's going to happen.
This is another Dak situation.
Yeah.
And I'm worried that Lamar may not step on the field. There's a non-zero chance that he doesn't play without a contract.
If he does, if he sits out, I, like you said, everyone figures out a backup. He's looked good in regular season games, but then I go back to the playoff game that he was in. Didn't look good. Not good against the Bills.
I'm 100% confident that they get a contract done.
Yeah.
I think they have to, because you're not going to lose Lamar. You know, he's, yeah, maybe you don't view him as a top five or a top 10 quarterback or whatever people want to say, because he can't, you know, he's not Josh Allen throwing it or Patrick Mahomes throwing it, but he adds an element that they don't. He's the most explosive athlete on the field every time he steps on the field. And yeah, maybe he doesn't complete 75% of his passes. He doesn't have to. 60%, 61, 62, 63% for Lamar is fine with the way he runs the ball. But yeah, is Lamar worth the most? I believe so. I believe he's worth whatever he wants, because you can't lose him. You know, this is why quarterbacks get paid, because they play the most valuable position. And for fantasy reasons, if Tyler Huntley was to play extended amount of games again, you downgrade everyone but Mark Andrews. I think you keep Mark Andrews at the same tier. You might even move him up a tier, because we saw what Tyler Huntley did when he was in for Mark Andrews. The man went nuclear. He targets Mark Andrews a lot. He targets the tight end position a lot. He's looked good. I think he gets a starting gig next year. I do. Tyler Huntley, I think someone will trade for him or give him a chance. You know, he hasn't
probably shown the Giants.
Any. Yeah, I think the Giants should trade for him now.
Yeah, that would be the best move they made.
Yeah, but I am worried about the Lamar situation, because it makes sense to not play without a contract, and you just can't lose him if you're the Ravens. You can't.
Yeah, and like you said, you can't lose him. You're the Ravens. What else do you have? What else is bringing fans to the game? It's not Mark Andrews.
And the crazy thing is, you have a champion, or it could be a championship caliber defense. They're getting some pieces back. You have a good offensive line. You have Bateman. You have Mark Andrews. Maybe the pass catchers aren't that great, but you have a good running game. You know, you have a championship team with Lamar. It's not a championship team without Lamar. And you're not going to be bad enough to draft Bryce Young. Or whoever you think, you know, if you're thinking, all right, well, this is Lamar's last season, you got to get a contract done, man. You got to. Got to extend this guy.
If people like Dak can get an extension and Kyler, Lamar definitely should.
Yeah. But for fantasy implications, I'm not worried about anything this season unless Lamar sits out. If Lamar sits out, I don't want any part of the offense outside of Mark Andrews and whoever happens to be the lead running back, if there is one. And Tyler Huntley, maybe. You know, we'll see how the season would go. But that's it, man. That's all I got for you. This has been a great episode. You know, preseason takeaways, some news. Yeah, man, thanks for joining me. Thanks for being the great co-host that you are.
Thank you. And I just want everyone to know, whatever you do,
don't let CMC get to 7. Just don't let it happen.
Hey.
Just Adam, whatever you need. I don't talk to everyone else in the league that, I mean, you guys are more local than me. Don't let him get to 7, please. Just don't let him get to 7.
But yeah, man. This is a great time.
That's it, guys. Tommy ruined my draft strategy.
I didn't ruin anything. Record. I haven't ruined anything, sir. We can switch.
For our league of record, that happened.
We can switch.
But we'll probably be back when the season starts. It's last week of the preseason. Might be some starters doing some walkthroughs. Probably be some scrubs out there still. Doesn't really matter. Week 1 is upon us. The draft is upon us for a lot of people. A lot of people are starting to draft now. So good luck to everybody in the fantasy leagues. And all I got to say is peace. We'll see you later.
We'll see you later.